Mary Magdalene and the other Mary heard these words at the tomb, "He is not here, for he is risen, as he said." Resurrection validates faith. Paul wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 17, "And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile." And then Paul also wrote in 1 Corinthians 15 about how the resurrection validates forgiveness and of sins and a brand new life when he said, "And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile and you are still in your sins." Paul focuses on the implications of the death of the cross and the subsequent resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ when he wrote in Romans chapter 4, verse 25, that Jesus was delivered up because of our offenses and he was raised because of our justification. God's power that raised Jesus from the dead is the very same power that can change your life today. Today, I begin a four-week message series titled, "What is a Christian?" Because as you talk with people in your own daily lives, and as we read comments from people in newspapers and periodicals, there are a lot of different people who give different definitions of what it means to be a Christian. I've got a novel idea. Why don't, instead of taking people's opinion, why not get into the Bible and see what God says and how God's Word answers the question, what is a Christian? So today, let's look at this title and text. A person whose life has been changed, from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. God's Word says, "If anyone is in Christ, he is a new person, a new creation. Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new." Just how is a person's life changed? How is one spiritually raised from the dead? Number one, there is opportunity. The Bible says, if anyone is in Christ, notice the word if. The opportunity is there to receive Christ. The opportunity is there to become a Christian. Opportunity for a new life. Opportunity for forgiveness. Opportunity for eternal life. Because in John chapter 11, verses 25 and 26, Jesus said to her, "I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never, ever die." You see, when a person becomes a follower of Jesus, when the power that raised Jesus from the dead is the very same power that transforms a person's life, that person receives eternal life. So how does a person receive eternal life? How does a person become a Christian? Romans 10:9. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. You see, to become a Christian, you must do two things. First of all, you must believe without reservation that Jesus died a substitutionary death on the cross and was bodily raised 3 days later. And number two, you must repent of your sins and receive the forgiveness of your sins through Jesus. So often, a person does believe intellectually, but simultaneously fails to repent. There are people in our culture who claim to be Christians, but their lifestyles are diametrically opposed to who they claim to know personally. I remember when I was in the seminary working on my Master of Divinity degree, my wife at the same time was working on her degree. My degree was MDiv, Master of Divinity. Hers was PhD, Put Hubby Through. She worked at Baptist Memorial Hospital in downtown Memphis, Tennessee, the largest private hospital in the world. She was a registered nurse. She started to work there, and one day she came home. She said, "Mike, there's this doctor at work that will not keep his hands off of me or any other female that happens to be breathing. He says, she said, he's very flirtatious, and it really bothers me. Well, for a few weeks, she just went through all of this, and finally one day she said, Mike, I'm going to work today. Pray for me. I'm going to talk to this doctor and tell him to please leave me alone. So that morning, she courageously but graciously went up to this doctor and said, excuse me, doctor, but I just want you to know that for the last several weeks that I've been working here, it really bothers me that you touch me. It really bothers me that you do that. And I want you to know that I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Jesus. His response, what do you think? So am I. Sure has a strange way of showing it, doesn't he? And there are a lot of people like that in America. They claim to know Christ, but there's never been a change in their lives. Merely religious people who do not have a personal relationship with God through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Bible says if anyone is in Christ, it is an opportunity. Do not let it pass. Number two, obvious. If anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Now, there's a popular phrase in our contemporary culture that is the words Captain Obvious. In other words, you say something that everybody else already knows, and they're wondering why in the world you said it. It's Captain Obvious. Well, it's very obvious that when you become a Christian, you are a brand new creation. You see, when you seize the opportunity to come to Christ, you experience a life change. You become a brand new person. That's the reason in the Gospel of John chapter 3, Jesus says, those who believe on me, they are born again. They have a spiritual birth date, a brand new life, a fresh new start. That's the reason in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, the Bible says, and you, he, Jesus, made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. You see, the very same power that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the very same power that changes a person's life. The change is obvious. The change is supernatural. I read the story recently in a newspaper, and the title of the article is this, Dead Man Turns Up in Sweden. Magnus Palm, who was 27 years old, told the Swedish media that he faked his own death in the year 2003. He went out and rented a boat, and he took the boat out to the lake and went to the other side and got on the shore and pushed the boat off the shore and then went into hiding. Now, he was asked this question, why in this world did you do this? His answer was this, I wanted to get away from my old life and start a new life. Well, I've got some news for Magnus. Receive Jesus as your Savior, and you'll get away from your old life, and you will have a brand new life. You see, Jesus changes lives. The very same power that raised Jesus from the dead is the very same power that can give you a brand new life. Point number three, obituary. The Bible says, old things have passed away. You see, an obituary is a death notice. They are printed in the paper every day to honor the person who's passed and also to let those who knew and loved this person know that he or she has passed away. Now, it's interesting who does and who does not read obituaries. Teenagers do not read obituaries. I've never gone up to a teenager reading a newspaper and asked him, are you reading the obituary section? Because they're not interested in obituaries. Why? Because their friends are all alive. But the older we get, the more apt we are to read the obituaries. Oh, I used to bowl with that person. Oh, looky there. That used to be the girl that checked me out down at Walmart. Oh, looky there. There is my neighbor that we used to live together, side by side, and hadn't seen him in 30 years. Didn't know he was sick. But the older you get, you look at the obituaries, you also want to see and make sure your picture's not in there. And if your picture's not in there, you're going to have a pretty good day. Well, the Bible says if anyone is in Christ, he's a brand new person, a new creation. Old things have passed away. What does it mean, old things? The old habits, the old sins, those things that have been there from the very beginning. These old things are the sins that we've committed. Passed away means just that. Old things have passed away. Aorist tense, once and for all time, they have passed away. You see, when you become a Christian, that is when your obituary is written. Because the life you lived, you no longer live. The Bible says that we should no longer live for ourselves, but live for Him who died for us and rose from the grave. So you see, old things means those things that we've done from the beginning, our sins. Passed away means just that at the very moment we become a Christian, our old life, our old sins have passed away. Several years ago, I received a letter from a very good friend of mine. I hadn't seen him in at least six to eight years, although I did happen to see him recently when I went back to my home state. But I received a letter from him several years ago. Now, this guy and I grew up in the same church, and it had the same impact on us. We both walked away when we turned 16. This guy went further away and off the beaten path than I did. But this letter detailed an amazing change in his life. And I want to read to you just a little section of that letter. He said to me, Mike, I went through some really tough times. I got a divorce. After my divorce, I received two DUIs within 3 months and received another DUI 3 months later due to a head-on boat crash at a lake at night. He says, I guess I was lucky no one was killed. He wrote in his letter, in the week following the boat accident, I was on my knees for a solid week praying and crying like a baby. I knew I couldn't keep on living like I was. Finally, Jesus saved me. It was like a ton of bricks lifted off my back. I will never forget that awesome feeling. You see, that's what we're talking about right here. Old things have passed away. When you seize the opportunity to become a Christian, and when your life is changed, just like this friend of mine, you will experience forgiveness. You might ask, forgiveness of what? Well, the answer is you would be forgiven by God of every sin that you've ever committed in your lifetime. These sins will no longer exist when you become a Christian. They have passed away. So here it is. You become a Christian. You have a brand new life. Your old life is dead. Now let's take a look at point number 4, the outcome. All things have become new. Notice the verb there, have become. In other words, something's happened in the past with abiding results to the present. All things have become new. All things continue to become new. You see, at the very moment that you gave your life to Christ, You had a brand new life. But that was just the beginning of your spiritual journey and not the end. You see, when a person comes to Christ, his or her life is dramatically changed. But according to 2 Corinthians 5:17, that change will continue for the remainder of that person's life. Now, the Bible has a lot to say about the new life. Matter of fact, here it is right here. First of all, you have a new heart, Ezekiel 36:26. You have a new spirit, Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 31. You have a new song, Psalm 40, verse 3. You have a new name, Revelation chapter 2, verse 17. You become a new creature, Galatians chapter 6, verse 15. And you have a new self, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 24. Now, in making reference to all things have become new, Dr. John MacArthur, in his commentary on this book of the Bible, 2 Corinthians, says this: God plants new desires, loves, inclinations, and truths in the redeemed, so that they live in the midst of the old creation with a new creation perspective. So let's think right now of Romans chapter 6, verses 4 and 5. That just as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So my question to you today is this: what is a Christian? The answer, a person whose life has been changed. A life just like Jennifer Sands. She recently wrote and contributed an article in a magazine periodical called Home Life. In that article, she used a powerful analogy of the death and resurrection of Jesus, comparing it to her own experience. This is what she wrote in the article. I want you to listen to this. She said, "Death for Jesus came on a Friday. Then Saturday dawned, filled with excruciating silence that weighed the air. It was hard to breathe. It was even harder to believe. Overwhelmed with grief, devastated, shocked, terrified, and confused, the disciples couldn't comprehend the death of Jesus. And then came Saturday, the silence." And then she wrote, she said, "Jesus warned that life on this rock would be, well, hard at times," John 16:33. She writes, "So it's no surprise that we also have agonizing Fridays." She writes, "No, they're not like Jesus's, but there are times of pain. Fridays when you get the diagnosis you feared. Fridays when a relationship shatters. Fridays of job loss, financial crisis, Fridays of death." She writes, "My Friday actually occurred on a Tuesday, September the 11th, 2001. She said, "My husband Jim was working in the office of the 103rd floor of the World Trade Center. She said, I was devastated and broken by his death, consumed with anger for months. My Friday tragedy gave way to a Saturday of despair." And then she added this in her article. She said, "My Saturday after 7-Eleven lasted for about 1 year." She said, "I wasn't a Christian at the time. But," she said, "finally in the year 2002, I gave my life to Jesus Christ. I was born again. I became a brand new person." You see, Jesus Christ changed Jennifer Sands' life. She became a brand new creation. Her old life was passed away, and behold, all things became new in her life. But you see, all things that became new was not just the conversion experience, but it was the experience since then. It was the process. For in 2007, Jennifer Sands was diagnosed with breast cancer. Today, she is a survivor. And she also continues to undergo a dramatic spiritual transformation through the power of the resurrected Christ in her own personal life. You see, the power of the resurrected Christ changed her life. The power of the resurrected Christ can change your life. And that is what it means to be a Christian, a person whose life has been changed. I have two questions that I want to ask you right now as we come to the climax of this service. Number one, has your life ever been changed? And the second question I want to ask you, are you genuinely a Christian?